Blog Talk Radio.
Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me is coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing, Lord, cover me, renew in me the right spirit, please. Till that secret, sacred place in you, make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be renewed. You kept me here and you see me through.
Praise shall continually be in my mouth. This is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yoke of bondage. Blog Talk Radio, August 13, 2022. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers. And we honor Dr. Elder Marie Carey on this morning, who is the president and CEO of the Amazing Grace Ministries. And we have a spirit-filled lesson on today, so let's get right to it. Announcements. Please consider donating to Amazing Grace Ministries, Inc. You can send that donation to P.O. Box 438411, Chicago, Illinois, 60643. And thank you to those who have sent in your donations. They are well appreciated. To everyone listening in Radio Land, I decree blessings unto you in this new year. If you are blessed by this talk show, I need you to express it via text, email, or comment on our lesson page. Text at 309-750-7584 or email amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. That's capital A, AMAZENGRACEMINISTRIES@gmail.com. And we are on the air at 9 a.m. every Saturday morning, and we have an exciting lesson, so please tune in. And if you want to connect to this lesson live, you can go to http://tobtr.com/s/12132850. Amen. And we are leaving our past to get to our destiny, or you can say our future. It's easy to look back over our lives and say, I should have done this, or I should have done that. I should have trusted my instincts. Or why did I follow the direction in which God has given me? It is so easy to look back and say, I should have. But the truth of the matter is that hindsight is a great teacher. On the other hand, regret is a great disruptor. Excuses are a great time waster. And after the fact, lamenting in a momentum annoyance. The only time to ponder things gone by is to ask ourselves, what lesson did I learn from the past situation? And given the same situation in the future, what will I do differently? See, the roads we travel now or have traveled in the past are tests to build us and prepare us for the future and our destiny that God has for us. God has plans for our lives. And if we allow him to teach us, to train us, and to give us instructions, then we will become powerful vessels used for his glory. The theme for this month of August is God Will Fix It. The lesson for this second Saturday in August is leaving my past to obtain my future, or you can say my destiny. Text coming from Philippians 3, 12 through 16, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same things. Jeremiah 29:11. This is the King James Version, and it reads, For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I have some definitions. Leaving, when you say leaving, it means to go away from, to depart from, or withdraw from. Past means gone by in time and no longer existing. The meaning of the word my, or relating to me or myself, especially as possessor, agent, and object of an action, or familiar person, my car, my injuries, my man. Used intergestually to express surprise and sometimes reduplicate my, oh my. Used only intergestually with names of various parts of the body to express doubt or disapproval, oh my foot, my eye. Future. Future means the events that will happen after the present time. A better word is destiny. That's the word we will focus on, destiny. Destiny means something to which a person or thing is destined. Destined means to determine beforehand, preordained to assign for a specific end, used, or purpose. For example, it was preordained whether you would be born a girl or a boy. It was also preordained who your parents that you would be born to. Let's define preordained of an outcome or course of action. Decided or determined beforehand. If you say that something is preordained, you mean you believe it be happening in the way that it has been decided by a power such as God or faith. So God knows your destiny, and he knows even before you were born. Jeremiah was chosen to be God's prophet before his birth. God strengthened him and promised to make him as secure as a fortified city against those that would oppose him. That's 1:17-19. Jeremiah 1:17-19 reads, Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their face, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defensed city, an iron pillar and brazen wall against the whole land, against the king of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. I have some history on this lesson. Paul and his companions found the church at Philippi. on his second missionary journey. That's Acts 16:11-40. Now, this was the first church established on the European continent. The Philippian church had sent a gift with Epaphroditus, one of their members, to be delivered to Paul. That's 4:18. Paul was in a Roman prison at the time, and he writes this letter to thank them for their gift and to encourage them in their faith. Philippians is Paul's joy letter to the church. Macedonian city had been a great encouragement to Paul. The Philippians believers had enjoyed an incredible special relationship with Paul, so he wrote them a personal expression of his love and affection. They had brought him great joy. Philippians 4:1. Philippians also a joyful book because it emphasizes the real joy of Christian life. The concept of rejoicing or joy appears 16 times, and the pages radiate this positive message, culminating in the exhortation to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That's 4:4. In a life dedicated to serving Christ, Paul was faced with excruciating poverty, abandoned wealth, and everything in between. He even wrote this joyful letter from prison. Whatever the circumstances, Paul had learned to be content. That's 4:11-12. Finding real joy as he focused all of his attention and energy on knowing Christ, that's 3:8, and obeying him in 3:12-13. Paul desired to know Christ above all else is a wonderful expression in the following words. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. That's 3:8-10. Have some history on Jeremiah. Now, the prophet Jeremiah was active in Jerusalem during the tragic period of the city's destruction by the Babylonians, which occurred over several stages. Jeremiah prophesied during the reign of various kings, beginning in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, that was 626 BCE, and then Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiakim, Zedekiah, and during the brief rule of Gedaliah, then Ahikam, whom was assassinated in about 585 BCE. This mark was also the final end of the remaining Jewish community in Judah and Jerusalem and symbolized the conclusion of the First Temple period. Jeremiah prophesied the disaster of Judah. He launched his prophetic ministry mission in his native village of Anathoth, but was rejected by the villagers. He became the leading exponent of the approach which called for surrender to Babylonian and not attempting a rebellion against its impressive strength under the auspices of Egypt. But even though was denied from birth, still rejected his prophetic call, and that's 15:10-18. Now, Paul encouraged Philippians to pray whenever they became anxious, so prayer is said to be a powerful enabler to live the Christian life. With petition to God in thanksgiving and in trust in God's ability to answer our prayers, a believer can have peace and assurance. The peace that God gives Christians goes well beyond human understanding. This peace actually guards and protects a believer's heart and mind. Dwelling on wholesome attributes is to be coupled with serving others. This is an effect when Christians serve others. They learn to be content in all circumstances. Paul wanted the Philippians to understand that their strength was in Jesus Christ and was not going to be found in themselves. Paul was also concerned over the Philippian persecution, that's 1:27-30, over their being exposed to false teachings, 3:2-21, and internal conflicts which would threaten their witnessing to those outside of the church, 1:27-2:18, and then 4:2-3. Paul's prayer for the Philippians was about their love shown in the gift of financial support to him. He assured them that he was praying for them regularly. He prayed that their love would be overflowing like a cup runs over when it's overfilled. He prayed that they would have spiritual discernment and that they would be living holy, sanctified lives until the day that they were received unto Christ. Now, this prayer was for them to have right relationships with God and with one another, and that their righteousness would bear fruit from the Holy Spirit. This would lead to God being glorified and praises for God's work in them and through them. In Philippians, Paul displays Jesus as the supreme example for every believer in that he was in unity as one with the Father. They should live with tenderness and compassion for others, which is a result produced by the Holy Spirit. Christ left his glory to dwell as a human in humility and treated others with their best interests in mind. Jesus allowed himself to be humiliated for our sakes and had no selfish ambition at all. When he emptied himself out of his deity in full glory, he became a servant, even though he is our Lord, Savior, and Master. Like Christ condescending to his own creation, us, believers ought to esteem others better than themselves and have a selfless, giving life for the sake of others. The only possible way believers are able to live a godly life is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Unless Christ is at the center of a believer's life, they cannot live like Christ lived. The inner joy can allow the believer to take courage in unhappy circumstances, that they can live without animosity, anxiety, and with gentleness. Paul was interested in Jesus' deity, and he wanted the believers in Philippi to grow in their spiritual maturity and move beyond elementary teaching. There's no doubt that Paul was also soliciting the Colossians' prayer on his behalf with the understanding that he was in prison and uncertain of his faith. He wanted them to grow in the knowledge of God, but still sought prayerful support from them for his enduring trials, to have joy in our trials. Paul wanted the Colossians to know that Jesus Christ was not created, that he was fully God, probably because of the false teachings that were saying otherwise. Paul also answered questions about sufficiency in Christ due to false teachings that emphasized asceticism and angel worship. A deeper life in Christ was one of thanksgiving to God for growing in his grace and knowledge. A strong faith and love emulates from the hope that believers have, a hope in our heavenly destination. A deeper life in Christ means striving towards perfection and moving beyond the rudiment teaching of the gospel. Like an athletic train for their sport, so Christians ought to strive by great efforts to be more and more like Christ. That is who we are. Christ says, "You are my chosen generation. You have been called with a purpose. God's thoughts towards me. He knows what he wants for me." Psalms 40:5. "Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are towards us, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak unto them, they are more than can be numbered." 17 says, "I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God." Psalms 139:17 reads, "How precious also are their thoughts unto me. O God, how great is the sum of them." Isaiah 55:9 reads, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." The will of God in having a deeper life in Christ is to be living a life worthy of the Lord and to exalt Christ above all things created, that Jesus reigns over all his creations and those whom he redeemed. God has a plan for our future. Planning for the future, Luke 12:18 and James 4:13. Future of prosperity, Isaiah 61:4-6. Isaiah 61:4-6 reads, "And they shall build the old waste, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flock, and the sons of the aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves." In conclusion, Paul tells us not to get distracted by our past. Do not get sidetracked by what you should have been what you should have done, or the way things have turned out for you. The most important moment is now. Do not use today's energy in thinking about the past or pondering the future. Such end energy zaps your ability to enjoy the present. Therefore, focus on the present and what can you do today. Make the moment at hand your focal point. There are a lot of challenges to tackle. There's a lot of room to improve things right now. There's a lot of opportunities to get things done right today. Understand that our destiny, our future, is in Christ. Whatever the past may have been, it is there to help and secure our future to be all that we can be for Christ. The word states, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God has a purpose and destiny in store for his children who love him. Let's pray. Lord God, in Jesus' name, we come humbly before your throne of grace. Lord God, before we begin to ask you for anything, just allow us to thank you for everything. Lord God, we thank you for who you are. You are truly the Lord of Lords. You are the King of Kings. You are the everlasting Father. You are the Prince of Peace. And we thank you on this morning. Lord God, we thank you for waking us up, God. You didn't have to, but you did. Lord God, we just want to come today, Lord God, and we just ask you to forgive us, God. Forgive us for our sins, God. Forgive us for our shortcomings, God. Bring us up to where we need to be, God. And then, Lord God, we just asking you to look on your people, Lord God. Look on the listeners one by one, name by name, God. Hallelujah. Look on the listeners in Texas, Lord God, the listeners in Iowa. Oh, God, we ask you to look on the listeners in Indiana, God. And then, Lord God, we ask you to just look on my superintendent, Dr. Byron Gibbs and Lady Gibbs, God, my pastor and his wife, God. Look on our assistant pastor, the Elder Reginald Johnson and Evangelist Johnson, Lord God. Look on the Elder Reverend Carrie, God, and her family, Lord God. Continue to bless her, God. Bless her in her future endeavors, Lord God. And then, oh, God, we just thank you, God. We continue to thank you. God, if we had 10,000 tongues, we couldn't thank you enough, God. We thank you because you know and we know that you will fix it. God, it's all in your hands, God. And then we're just asking you to just to help us to leave our past behind, God. Oh, God, we just thank you, Lord God. Lord God, we just ask you, Lord God, to touch the sick and shut in, Lord God. Lord God, look on those that said, pray for me, Lord God. And, Lord God, we just ask you to touch them from the crown of their heads to the sole of their feet, God. And then, Lord God, we just ask you to just to be in everything that we say and do on today, Lord God. And, Lord God, just be with us. Be with us on today, Lord God. Look on the Shelton family as they gather today, Lord God, in the gathering, Lord God, the family gathering. Be with them, Lord God. And then, Lord God, we just ask you to do for us, God, that which we can't do for ourselves. And we just give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio, where your president and CEO is the Elder Dr. Maria Carey, and your co-host is yours truly, Evangelist Rogers. Tune in next week, same time, and Dr. Carey will be returning. Remember, God is still in control. Wear your mask, be mindful, and enjoy the remainder of your day. Be blessed.